You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We made it to a Friday. A lot to recap from last night and look ahead to this weekend. Come on in, stay a while on this Meat Friday, smoked pork ribs and sausage chili on the Traeger grills. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Play of the day, stat of the day, poll question coming up. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network will stop by. Kurt Warner, NFL Network, was on the call last night for Westwood One. Joe Torre, the former Yankee manager, will look back on the 20-year anniversary of baseball and how baseball reacted after 9/11. Joe Torre, of course, the Yankees and Mets were front and center. And we'll talk to Joe a little bit later on. It wasn't going to be easy for the game last night to live up to the hype, but you had the highest profile team in the Cowboys, the highest profile player in Tom Brady, and I think that they exceeded expectations as the Bucs won in a come-from-behind thriller. Brady and Dak Prescott put on a show, and Brady had the ball last. I'm curious, though, with this in-time, you know, in-game betting, real-time betting, when if you could have said, hey, here are the odds of Tom Brady leading his team down and winning this game, what would those odds be? And we're actually trying to find this out from Vegas because real-time betting is here. And to be able to bet, if you knew Tom Brady's going to get the ball back, that's how much time left, what would you have bet? Who would you have bet on? And how much would you have bet? And what were the odds there? But Brady leads Tampa to the game-winning field goal. But you can't tell the story without talking about Prescott. First game back from that devastating ankle injury. His shoulder is still not 100%. He threw for 400 yards, three touchdowns. I don't know if Dallas feels good despite losing. You know, handing out moral victories, that doesn't show up in the one-loss column. But the defending champs, they're not acting their ages. That's for sure last night. Brady was great. Main weapons were Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown. So much for me saying, I don't know about Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski yesterday on the show. But, hey, it's one game. We start a season, a great start to the season. I'm not sure how the rest of week one's matchups will live up to maybe that kind of hype. But looking forward to watching those. And you start to break the game down. I thought it was going to be a lot closer. Said yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas won the game. It just had a strange feeling about it. And I don't know why. I don't know. There was nothing I was basing it off of other than, and listening to a lot of the analysts yesterday, it's like, oh, you know what? If Dallas scores 20 points, this will be a moral victory. You know, if they keep it close, this is a moral victory. They kept talking about moral victories. Dallas was the better team last night. I mean, if you get four turnovers, 11 penalties with the defending Super Bowl champs, and you have them on the ropes at their place, this is one of those games where we thought, okay, Dallas is probably going to start out 3-2. They'll lose their first two, lose to the Bucs, the Chargers, and then they'll win their next three against the Giants, the Eagles, and Carolina. And then you look at their schedule, and it's a friendly schedule. They're not playing great teams until like week 11. But that was one of those games where you're watching, and even Chris Collinsworth said it, Dallas should be up by double digits, and they should have been. You miss a couple of field goals, you miss an extra point, and those always come back to haunt you. That would always be the come back to haunt me if I was betting on the game, not are you going to win the game, and it turned out to be they could have won the game. And I thought that they played pretty well. Now, a couple of things. If we know that Dak has a shoulder injury or there's going to be sensitivity there the entire season, and he's throwing nearly 60 times and he got hit, they went after him, he is going against a good defense, where is that running game to maybe offset this a little bit? That was the big surprise. Zeke Elliott, I didn't want to sign him to the second contract. I think you got your weapons, you're going to be a pass first team. Defense did okay. Got Brady a couple of times, although one went off Fournette's hands. But still, you take advantage of those situations there. But you got to put some pressure on Tom Brady. You touched Brady twice. That's it. You're not going to beat him if you don't move him off his mark, if you don't, you know, make him a little uncomfortable back there. Because he's not athletic, but if you force him to be athletic, now you can really change the direction of their philosophy. And they weren't able to do that. I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence, I don't know if I'd be cashing my check publicly after that game. But Micah Parsons looked like he's a rookie linebacker. You can have all that athleticism. It doesn't matter. Brady loves to pick on rookie linebackers, young linebackers. And you could see that last night. At one point, he was turned around. He was like, where am I? And he's trying to cover Gronk at one point. And Gronk doesn't move well, but he moves smartly. And you saw that last night. He's great at positioning himself. But if I'm Tampa Bay, I go, we did not play that well. And they didn't. But you win that game, you need to win that game. There's probably three or four games for every team, it feels like. And these are playoff teams where you look back and go, man, we're lucky. Or we should have won that game. And those three or four are really important when it comes to seeding when you get to the playoffs, home field advantage. Are you on the road? You know, you look at the Buccaneers were 7-5 last year after 12 games. And there were a couple of games they probably went, we could have won those. But they didn't. And I really had questions about that team after 12 games where I go, are they going to be a wild card team? Are they making the playoffs? And then we saw them go on that run. But if I'm Dallas with Dak Prescott, that was very impressive for somebody who comes back from a devastating injury and to be able to perform like he did against a very good team on the opening night in Tampa. I'd be pretty thrilled if I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't like him throwing nearly 60 times. I don't like that at all. Here is Dak Prescott off the game talking about how hard fought this was.
We came up short, bottom line. Obviously, fought hard. We fought all the way to there in the end. That's a good football team we're playing. They got us by a field goal right there. We've got to be better situationally. Defense did a great job giving us chances when we didn't convert touchdowns or field goals and getting us the ball right back. Did an incredible job. Tough anytime you don't win, as I said, it's the expectations for this team, for myself. Came up short.
Here's Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys head coach, on Dak Prescott.
This is who he is. I mean, I never thought that he couldn't have this kind of night. I mean, you know, if you just... You got to remember, I mean, he's 24/7 football. He puts a tremendous amount of extra effort into this. So, you know, I'm sure when we sit down and watch the tape, there'll be some things we can learn from and clean up.
Here's Tom Brady on the final drive of the game.
It's just competition at its best. So NFL football challenges you a lot in different ways. And, you know, we've worked hard on our 2 minute. You know, you got to string together a lot of communication about these critical moments and how to make the important plays when you need to. And I think the important part about the last drive of the game was we executed some really good plays at the right moment.
Yeah, it wasn't a great game for Brady, but it was Brady. It's when the game is on the line, is there any other quarterback you'd rather have in there? I know you're probably going to say Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers. Not for me. Like, I would probably take Russell Wilson. I still think when the game is on the line, 2 minute drill, he's the most dangerous, but it feels like he's put into that situation every single week. Brady's still big game on the line. He just knows what to do. Now, did Chris Godwin get away with a push-off? You could have had a call either way or no call in that moment, and I would have been fine with all three. If they would have said push-off, I would have gone, okay. And if they didn't call something, or they called defensive pass interference, or they didn't, you know, as they did last night, there's no call. I would have been fine with that because I thought the defensive back flopped a little bit. I think he realized that he didn't have position and his feet got tied up and Godwin was going to make the call or make the catch. And then he sort of flopped after that. And I thought it's a no call. Now, is it, if it's in Dallas, is it called? Probably, but I did wonder about that. You know, if you're not rooting for the Cowboys, Buccaneers, or have any money on this, or somebody's not on your fantasy team, you know, can you be neutral and just say, yeah, either way, I would have been fine in a no call because I didn't have anything at stake on this. Yeah, Paulie.
I watched that play about 10 times and the ref is right there. He's not out of position. I think the ref may have held the flag because the defensive back tried to sell it. He whipped his head back. His arms are flailing all over like an NBA player on a charge. And I think the ref said, nah, you're not going to get that one.
I don't know if they factor that into it, but if they did, then I didn't have a problem with the call. I didn't. I don't want flopping. You know, is the arm extended? Yes. Did the defensive back force some of that as well. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, see.
The defensive back, just based on the way his body was positioned, looked like he was going to fall over anyway. Whether Godwin had his arm up or not, he looked like he was falling over.
Yeah. I thought that he did his best to try to sell it, that he's getting pushed off there. Yes, McLovin.
Well, that's what penalties are in the NFL. I mean, the only time they ever call offensive holding is if the defensive lineman slips. I mean, falling is, that's how you get a call, is you fall. I thought it was a push off. But I thought it was just too close to call. Do you think in the first quarter it called differently?
Yes. It's probably called in the first quarter.
Probably. But you always said it's impossible to call that hand fighting these days anyway.
Yeah, because if I'm a defensive back, I do what the Legion of Boom made famous. I got my hands on you. You're not going to, how many of these are you going to call? Now, the game, you don't want to slow the game down. You don't want penalties all the time. And, you know, the Legion of Boom was like, we're going to put our hands all over these guys. And they are. There's so much contact. And prior to the ball being thrown, it's really hard to tell who's the aggressor. Yes, Tom.
I also wonder if it's in Jerry World, is there any way that that goes in favor of the Cowboys? I always wonder, you know, the homer call that the refs aren't supposed to take into account, obviously.
Yeah. I just mentioned that. If it was in Dallas, would have gone.
I guess I was re-emphasizing that.
Oh, you were?
Gave me a chance to say Jerry World also.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Further illuminating your point.
Thank you, Todd. Todd has a limerick. It has to do with last night's game.
The Bucs.
No, no, no. I just said you had a limerick, but I wasn't going to let you do it.
Oh, there was a pause there. There was a little dead air. I thought you were
No, because
me
you weren't listening to me, then why should I listen to
that's
you?
That's a valid point. I missed your point about the Dallas thing.
Or we could get it over with.
Rip the Band-Aid off kind of thing?
Let's go around the room. Let's vote on limerick right now. McLovin?
Yeah, give the kid a shot.
Seton?
Yeah, as long as he does it as an impression.
Okay.
And not just him.
Okay. Paulie?
McLovin said shot. It's like a shot. I don't want to think about it. Get it over with.
Okay. Who are you going to do the limerick as?
Well, wasn't it Sandman's birthday recently?
Sandman, Adam Sandler was yesterday. You're going to do Adam Sandler?
Why not?
Okay, so Adam Sandler with a limerick about the Buccaneers beating the Cowboys.
Oh, the Bucs QB again remained calm, leading his team with so much aplomb. Dallas scored a little too fast. We knew the lead wouldn't last. Yet another comeback for Tom.
There we go.
I'm sorry I didn't hear your point earlier.
No, you didn't listen to me. It's not that you didn't hear me.
That happens a lot with me.
Yeah.
That's not a one-off kind of thing. I'm probably good once a week.
You should listen to this show.
It's a very good show.
It's award nominated.
But I think a good once a week is what I do, one of those where I repeat what was just said.
Oh, this program brought to you by Dollar Shave Club, the six-blade razor for noticeably smooth shave, thanks to their six precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave wherever you shop, in-store, online, dollarshaveclub.com, dollarshaveclub.com. We'll come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. Your phone calls are welcome. I don't know if you're a Cowboy fan, do you feel better today? And for all you analysts out there who are forgetting that we listened the day before and going, yep, I knew, hey, this team can play with anybody. I don't think anybody was saying that prior to the game. Most people are saying, oh, this is going to be a blowout. Dallas played well last night, but there's certainly some concerns there. The whole Ezekiel Elliott situation. And before you say, well, they didn't have their offensive line fully intact. Well, they still threw the ball nearly 60 times, but Zeke Elliott and his role, I'm very curious about that. And this defense, is that defense that much better? A lot of questions there. And even questions for the Buccaneers as well. But it is week one, game one. We love to overreact, and let the overreacting commence. We'll take a break, 15 after the hour. Settle on a poll question right after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Discover the Discover credit card, and you will discover the following. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. How amazing is that? In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. And that means when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, to their five-star sales service financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile. Taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. It's a Meat Friday, and Tyler, the moderator, who moderates Chat Row, is also our cook around here. And so he's multitasking. So I just went out into the kitchen. I like to survey what's going on. You know, we got ribs on the Traeger, and we got sausage chili that was made as well. And I go out there, and Tyler had just taken the sausage chili to put on the Traeger, and he left the burner on.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's a gas burner. So this is what I want to come up with. A stove where if you leave something on it, or you take something off of it. Once you take it off, there's no pressure on the burner. 30 seconds later, it automatically turns off. I don't know how to do this, but that's my idea. A stove that will turn itself off if you take the pressure off the burner. What do you think, Paul?
It seems so obvious. It's unbelievable it hasn't been done before.
Well, it might be. It might have been done before.
But the best ideas are the problems that are unsolved. Mm. That's what Mark Cuban says, solve a problem.
Okay. Well, I could fire Tyler. Doesn't that solve the problem?
But everyone in America couldn't, unless Tyler screws up their kitchen as well.
Oh, okay.
There are, you're not going to like this.
I mean, I like keeping Tyler, right? He's a good guy to have around.
There are different types of automatic stove turn-off devices.
Turn-offers?
Turn-offers.
Okay. All right. Well, then maybe I should get that, because I'm going to keep Tyler.
But these are aftermarket products, Dan. There's not actually a stove that's like Wi-Fi capable that has turn-off capability.
Maybe like Wolf. They come up with great stoves.
You're calling the Wolf?
Yes. Bringing in the Wolf. And I think that would be something. Here's another thing. How about when you put your beverage in your cup holder in your car, you can decide if you want to have it colder or warmer. You put your coffee in there in the morning, and it keeps it warm. Like just a nice little warm temperature. Doesn't heat it up hot. Or if you want to have it cooler, you could do that. Has somebody come up with that?
Checking.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell you if they did or no?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. I mean, I was also wondering if we could run a pipeline from the East Coast to the West Coast, and we could put water in it, and we could help people on the West Coast. I mean, these are things that keep me up at night.
I mean, why don't we just do that?
Yeah. Can we help out the West Coast? Can we do that with our water and the abundance of water that we have here? All right, I'll shut up. McLovin, poll question today. What do we have?
Okay, Paulie had a good one. You can make one bet. The Buccaneers make the Super Bowl or the Dallas Cowboys make the playoffs. Which do you feel better about?
I'll take the Dallas Cowboys to make the playoffs.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl. Just to make it.
All right. I think I got a better chance with the Cowboys making the playoffs.
So you this morning feel better about the Cowboys than you did 24 hours ago. Much better?
Well, no, I thought that they could win this game. So I don't feel better about them. I still have a lot of questions. With Zeke Elliott, is this just a one-off? Now, you're going against a very good run defense, to be fair to Zeke Elliott. I don't want Dak throwing it 60 times. But that's the only way they stayed in the game. Can you go toe-to-toe with, these other offenses you're going to face? And, is the defense going to improve? Like, it has to improve. The question is, does it make enough of a leap where you're going to be competitive? And I think that offensively, they're able to do that. I'd go back to when, didn't Zeke Elliott have like 92 catches? 1 year. Does that sound about right, McLovin? And I think that might be how he's used, maybe more so as a receiver out of the backfield than as a true running back getting 1,500 yards. Yeah, McLovin.
They said he did a great job blocking last night, too.
Okay. I mean, that's a really good defense. And Dak got hit seven times. Yes, Paulie.
Zeke Elliott's third year in the league. He ran for 1,400 yards and had 77 receptions.
Okay, 77.
He led the league basically in yards from scrimmage.
Yeah. What other points? Yes, McClellan.
By the way, the Bucs ran for 3.7 yards per carry last night against a defense that led up 5 yards a carry last year. The Bucs might have an issue.
Well, I think, and a lot of the analysts yesterday were saying that Tampa is going to run the football. They tried. They didn't do very well. Leonard Fournette looks a step slower, and he didn't have a step to lose to be a step slower. But look, it's one game. I know we overreact to this. I don't know what's – I always go, let me wait for a month. It's like Belichick. And I learned from Belichick, listening to Belichick, watching Belichick, he takes the first four games as if that's the true preseason. And now, obviously, you can't go 0-4. You have to care about all these games. But if you go 2-2, maybe you go 3-1, you're okay because now you have an idea who your team is. And Belichick would always do this, it felt like. And you got an extra game this year. If I'm looking at any team, let me see where they are once we start into October. And I'll have a better sense, I think, of what kind of team I'm going to see there week in and week out. Yeah, McClellan.
A related poll, if you had to pick one guy to win MVP from last night, who would you say is more likely, Tom Brady or Dak Prescott?
Well, Brady won. Dak's got a great story, but they got to win. I mean, how many times do you don't have an MVP not making the playoffs? And you know, we've made it easier to make the playoffs here.
They are in the NFC East.
Yeah.
They're the Vegas favorite to win the division.
I would say that Dak has a better chance to win the MVP than Tom Brady. Because I don't know if Brady's going to put up 48, 50 touchdowns. But if he does, and they're a team that loses, you know, three games, then, you know, he's got a great chance to be MVP. But what's Mahomes going to put up? What's Rodgers going to put up? Everybody's going to put up Matthew Stafford. You know, you're going to put up big numbers because you have to. That's just what you have to take advantage of what the game gives you. But I would say, you know, Russell Wilson could put up big numbers as well. Yes, Tom?
Any of those guys you just mentioned could get the MVP, and you just make Dak Prescott comeback player of the year and make everybody happy.
Yeah. Well, not Dak. He would probably want to win the MVP instead of comeback player of the year.
But it's still a nice consolation prize. If any of those quarterbacks do a little bit better and get the MVP, maybe he gets the comeback player.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
Paulie had a snarky poll question. Go ahead, deliver it, Paulie.
Okay. We're not judging. We're just saying what a lot of people are thinking, a lot of people saw last night. Who looks more younger, if that's a phrase? Who looks more younger than they did even just a year ago?
I think it's just who looks younger.
More younger, though. More younger.
More younger than this other person.
Okay. Yes. Who looks more younger?
I'm an English major, and this is actually appropriate use of more younger.
Is it?
Shocking.
Well, that's why I probably thought it was incorrect, because I was not an English major.
Although you could just say who looks younger.
Yeah.
Or between the two, who looks younger.
Okay. Who looked the most youngerest?
Yes, who looks the most youngest?
Okay.
Tom Brady or Drew Brees?
Ooh.
We were discussing both pre-show.
All right. Drew Brees with a new addition.
New front porch.
Yeah, he got some new moss. That's why when weren't quite sure if Drew Brees was coming back. And there was a workout video, and I said, no, it's right there. He's got TV hair. He's not coming back and playing. He had new moss. Brady looked younger.
How so?
He just does.
He's got his high hair going.
Yeah. He's Benjamin Button. Like, he just keeps looking younger and younger. Portrait of Dorian Gray.
Perfect tan. Yeah. Little Botox. You're all set.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just tastefully placed.
Yes. Some fillers in there.
Jawline implant?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But I would say Brady looks pretty young. Yes, McClellan.
Does he look a little faster than when he was a youngster?
No.
I thought he did. I mean, first, his arm is better, way better than it was when he was 25.
This is what will keep him in the game for more than 2 years, his arm. His arm is still probably upper echelon in the NFL. And that's what leaves you. I mean, athleticism is not going to leave him. He never has to worry about that. He just has to make a couple of moves in the pocket. You know, the players who will really give him trouble will be those defensive tackles who push the pocket up the middle, and then you force Brady to move. He did run once last night, I think. Did he run once?
No carries last night.
No carries.
And okay. He was touched twice and never hit the turf.
Okay. Yes, McClellan.
Yeah, the Cowboys were nice to extend the red jersey into the regular season.
Oh, my God.
Where is that defensive line? Were they even on the field last night?
You got to get somebody who's going to put pressure on a quarterback. That would be the first thing that I notice or that I would look at and go, how do we fix that? If I'm Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator, I'm going, we got to get pressure. Now, the question is, you know, are you going to have the disguised blitzes there? That you're going to have somebody who comes up the middle? Whatever it's going to be, you got to create a little bit of chaos there in the pocket. And the other thing is, what is the role for Dak Prescott or Zeke Elliott? And how does he help Dak Prescott? Yeah, I'm pulling.
The Dallas Cowboys defense, I just found this out. They hit Brady twice last night.
Yeah.
Once by Micah Parsons, who's a linebacker. Once by Donovan Wilson, who's a defensive back. No defensive lineman made contact with Brady last night. None. Not one Cowboys defensive lineman touched Brady. That's their only job last night.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah, because they weren't running the football. And even if they did run the football, you're not that concerned with those running backs. But you got to at least, do you think the defensive line went up to Brady after the game and just put their hand on him just to say that they did touch him last night? No, we touched him. We got to him last night. TJ Watt has signed his new extension. I thought he might be the first $30 million a year defensive player. And he came close because he signed 4 years for, what, $112 million? But he went against the advice of his agents, according to Adam Schefter. You got the post by Schefty there?
Yeah, Schefter tweeted out, Steelers offensive outside linebacker T.J. Watt overruled his agents who believed they could get more money today. Watt marched into the office of Steelers president Art Rooney and told him they had a deal. Then the NFL's new highest paid defensive player excused himself from the meeting and announced he had to go work out.
Can we do a dramatic reenactment of that? Who wants to be T.J. Watt? Paulie?
I'd love to be a Watt brother. You know that.
I know. I mean, you're good at impersonating J.J. Watt.
Of course. Good-ass dudes.
Yeah. Okay. But do you think that T.J. Watt talks to his agent, and then we didn't know if he was going to play in the game against Buffalo, and then he says that he's going to go in there and he's going to get that new contract? Seton, you play the agent.
Okay.
All right.
I got to get in. I got to get back in. I got to get it with the guys.
Booby, babe, listen to me, okay? Okay, babe? Just give it a little more time, okay? We got them right where we want them.
I got
right?
A bench. I got a lift.
Just give it time, a little more patience.
Season starts today. Actually starts next week, but I got to get up there. I got to go see Mr. Rooney. I got to go.
I love this idea that he's like, no, that's it. I don't want the money, okay? This is too much money for one person anyway. I'm going in.
This is about the fans.
Love of the game.
I'm going in. No, you can't go in. I'm going in.
I don't care about your percentage. I'm going in.
I got to do some curls and sign some deals.
These are my teammates. Do you understand that? I'm going in for my teammates, not for you.
They're good-ass dudes. I'm going in there.
This squad. Is off the field, we're good-ass dudes. We're nice guys. We do the right thing. On the field, when you step on the field, you're the baddest on the planet.
Good-ass dudes don't hold out. I learned that somewhere. Mr. Rooney, I'll sign anything.
We do the right thing, okay? We go in. Nobody holds out.
I'm playing for free. No, you can't play for free. I'm going to.
I'll pay you to be a Steeler. What am I doing? Hey.
Mr. Rooney, I'm paying you. Here, I got $11. That's how much I care about this team. I'll be there for you against Buffalo. Ready, break.
I'm doing this for the fans. The fans deserve better, okay?
Iron City for life. That's how it played out.
No, it did. That's a dramatic reenactment. It could have happened that way. Let's put it that way. Yes, McLovin. Are we going to settle on the poll question? I don't know. Do we want to do who looked more younger last night, Drew Brees or Tom Brady?
I don't. I don't know if you want to be associated with that question. That was Paul who said that.
Well, I don't work for NBC anymore.
I actually put up that first question. Which would you bet on? The Cowboys making the playoffs or the Bucks? That's already on danpatrick.com.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Yeah, Paul.
I'm actually not making fun of Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees probably wanted to do this for a while. But when you're a football player, you have the helmet on. And I'm sure you can't add moss and comfortably keep it with putting that helmet on and practicing. Now, he's in a suit and tie on the sidelines. He wants to fill it in. And he didn't overfill it in. Mm-hmm. He just kind of sprinkled the infield.
This is what happens. We guys don't think that people notice if you're going to color your hair. And then you're like, oh, man. And usually that's the reaction. And if you're going to add, you're going to sprinkle the infield on top, it's going to stand out. Because these TVs are so good now that they bring out every flaw that you got. And everything is enhanced. And you're seeing that. And you saw that last night with Drew. But as long as he feels good about it and his wife feels good about it, that's all that matters. Well, it's a nice addition there. Yeah, Paul.
And it's not as drastic as Urlacher's. Urlacher was completely bald and known for being bald. And then when he found out he couldn't grow hair again, he went all in. And he did the chin strap.
It's like Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
Like Urlacher didn't need, like part of Urlacher's mystique, his aura is that he bald-headed. Then you start to, I don't know, put hair in it. But I get it. I mean, I'm lucky that I have a lot of hair. I don't know how I'd feel if I didn't have it.
Okay.
What?
See where we're going with this.
But
imagine if you had very little to no hair. Well, how do you possibly get up in the morning and function on a daily basis?
But Paulie's hair is receding.
Yeah, retreating. It's retreating.
Yeah. In the words of Chris Berman, back. Yeah. I mean, if you can fill it in, you feel comfortable, confident in filling in, sure, why not? I would. Are you going to, Paulie?
Me?
Yeah. No.
I thought you were talking to Todd because he's usually the focus.
No, Todd doesn't do this.
I don't think I would add it. Mine's been a pretty slow retreat.
Yeah.
It's consistent.
Yeah, see.
I might shave my head. I might let it grow back. I don't know. I'll do either.
And then go visit your dad?
And then go visit my dad. Yeah. Maybe we'll shave our heads together. He's got a good head of hair.
Or not.
And then we'll let it grow back again. We can do either. Or not.
Wow.
Whichever we want.
Wow. Wow.
Sounds like a nice father-son bonding experience.
Yeah,
pretty comfy on this side of things, huh, Andrew?
Oh, poll question. Would Fritzy rather have a full head of hair or his dad back next?
What are you doing? Right,
that's a fair question. You know what you could do with a full head of hair?
I'd probably take my dad. We've had our disagreements, but we'll probably lean towards having your father still alive.
That might be as messed up as you've ever said.
But I can say that. It's like making fun of the line.
Would you like to have a full head of hair or your dad back?
Let's say I had Fritzy's hair.
Or head.
Yeah. I'd take my dad, but he would make fun of me for being bald. Yeah, I'd take my dad. But man, being bald early, that'd be tough.
Yes, Todd.
You put the cap on and you get that baseball out, the baseball in the glove, have your catch with your dad. And if it means, look at the bald guy or, you're wearing a hat for life, you got your dad. Go to games together and have a baseball catch and barbecue. And
no, yeah, we know you would take your dad.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Damn. You're trying to explain.
I just want to put it on the record that I would like my dad back.
I would hope most people in my situation where you have your father passed away and you're having, hair issues.
Okay, who wouldn't?
Not everyone got along with their dads. They know that, there's some horrible father stories in the world. This one was a drunk, or he beat me, or the belt is okay. And then you're like, I want an afro as opposed to
No, see, this was not a good
one. It's getting off the rails.
All right, Todd. It was lighthearted. It was a little dark, but
lighthearted and dark. We're really the only people who could pull that off at the same time. It was lighthearted but dark.
So I am on record. Again, my dad.
You would like to have your dad.
Right, over any
a full
of
head
hair.
Of hair.
No matter how much hair you could put on my head, I'm going to probably have my dad.
Will you shut up?
See, I can't jump in on some of these jokes.
No, you have hair and you have your dad.
I know. I just can't.
We'll grandfather you and we'll allow you to make.
McLovin has his hair and his dad.
Another great head of hair.
Yeah, McLovin's got decent moss.
Yeah. I'm
although out of accused by Florio of coloring your hair a couple of years ago.
I've been coloring my hair for 9 years now.
Okay.
Yeah. But the dead dad jokes, I want out.
Well, you're not in because your dad's alive. Like, you can make jokes. It's okay.
I was just telling Seton, I don't know if we want to do these anymore.
Oh, it's not like our dads died a week and a half ago. We're not like Ryan from Hawaii.
Oh, I don't care about your dads. I'm talking about the fact that my dad's still living, but I'm starting to get, you know.
You don't want to jinx it.
I don't want to jinx it. In the era of COVID, like, the dead dad jokes are like, I'm out. Mm. I didn't care. You guys, I'll make jokes about your deceased dads all day.
So post-pandemic, you're going to go all in?
Yeah, once third booster shot, I'm in.
How about we take a break here? I think it's a good idea. I think we should have taken a break a while ago. It's, let's see, almost time for our play of the day. We'll have that for you coming up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh my God.
The play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
A 36-yard field goal attempt, far side hash by Ryan Succop to win it. 29-28 Cowboys, 7 seconds left. Good snap, the spot. Here's the kick by Succop. Is it good? It is good! Take the lead at 31-29 with 2 seconds left. How about them Buccaneers defending the Super Bowl championship and taking the lead with just 2 seconds left in the game?
That's your play of the day. Play of the day is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. You want to look like $1 million, but only spend a handful of bucks? Upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find the perfect shave wherever you shop, in-store, online, dollarshaveclub.com. That was courtesy of 98 Rock and the Buccaneers Radio Network. Let's decide on a poll question, McLevin.
So we put up on danpatrick.com, which would you want to bet on, the Cowboys making the playoffs or the Bucs making the Super Bowl? And it's a runaway so far. 81% say Cowboys.
Oh, okay. I am surprised at that.
Well, Cowboys' win total is pretty high. So people...
What is it, 10?
I've seen 9.5.
Okay. I could see a 10-7 year. If all goes well.
Did anything about the Bucs worry you?
That's not a good defense that they went against. And to put up 31, now granted, Godwin fumbled the ball into the end zone, they would be putting up 38 points. I don't think there's major concerns, but Gronk and Antonio Brown look better than I thought. Godwin had some plays, but he had a fumble and he had a drop. We, you know, still haven't utilized Mike Evans. Running game is an issue, but I don't know how important it is for them. The defense surprised me a little bit because that is a defense that I have praised for a long, long time. And I didn't think that it looked formidable last night. I thought Dallas, if Dallas had taken advantage of the opportunities, would have won that game. So I guess that has to concern you if you're a Tampa Bay fan, but I try not to do what I make fun of, and that is overreact after every game, every Monday. You know, it's a referendum on a team, good or bad. And I look at Dallas, and I saw some bright spots. There are some concerns. The defense, you didn't put any pressure on Brady. How are you going to use Zeke Elliott? Am I going to have Dak throw 50 times a game? Does he have to throw 50 times a game? Does it make sense for him to throw 50 times a game? So, yeah, I would say that there are questions, and there should be on both sides. Yeah, McLovin.
You can't ignore the thing that Seton called yesterday, the Tom Brady interception problem.
Well, neither one are his fault. Although Seton said that Brady will have an all-time high interception total. Yeah, but that the one is on Fournette. I mean, the other one
not
is
in the record books, Dan.
Yeah, I know. But the other one is a jump ball, Hail Mary. I'm not going to put that. They probably had six or seven drops on Brady. I thought Brady was sharp.
On pace for 34 right
now. Of course
now.
He is. Thank you, Seton. Yes, Paul.
So Brady has two RBIs, receiver blame interceptions.
Mm.
We remember we pitched that yesterday. Because that was definitely on Fournette.
Yeah, it was.
And it was weird. A number seven was catching the ball from Tom Brady, and then the ball was intercepted by a number seven.
Dak Prescott threw for 403 yards. He now has 8 400-yard passing games. That's one fewer than all the other Cowboys quarterbacks who have done it. Romo 5 times, Don Meredith twice, Troy Aikman once, Kellen Moore once.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Ted in Tampa leads us off. Hi, Ted. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. Yeah, if you have one thing to be worried about, it's our depth on defense. You saw Dean get beat up play after play after play last night. So if we don't get our starting team quarterback back, we're going to be hurting a little bit. The other thing is Tom Brady and Gronkowski last night when they connected on their second touchdown. That was the 86th touchdown connection between the two, which made them pass Steve Young and Jerry Rice. So they're now the third most successful connection team in the NFL history.
Yeah, well, thank you, Ted, for that stat of the day. Yeah, Gronk still continues to amaze me. He's not fast. Like, we know Brady is not fast, quick, athletic, but Gronk to still be able to do it, and that's just being smart. That's just trying to find windows and use your body. And he's got those mitts. It looks like he's a soccer goalie in the Premier League. He's just got these mitts, like they're oven mitts. Performance enhancing, of course. Yes, Eden.
You know who I thought looked like a boss last night? Kellen Moore. That dude's got like head coach vibes written all over him. He looks like an absolute boss.
The offensive coordinator there?
Yeah.
Former quarterback at Boise State?
That dude's in charge right there.
Okay. Yep. All right. Yes, McLovin?
I agree, but he still kind of looks like a kid who got on. He's kind of like little looking.
Okay. How old do you think Kellen Moore is? I'm going to put the over-under at 37. Yes, Paulie?
You're high.
Yes, I am. But what's the over-under? Wait a minute.
He just turned 33.
No.
He's 11 years younger than Tom Brady.
Wow.
Which you have to say about everyone in the world.
Yeah, that's
anyone's age.
Pretty much. Yeah. How old is he compared to Tom Brady? Let's take a break. Rich Eisen, popular host from the NFL Network. He was working last night in the studio. We'll talk to him. Kurt Warner was on the call last night for Westwood One Radio. And Joe Torre, the former Yankee manager, will stop by as we look back on the 20-year anniversary, 9/11. Close out the first hour with M-Drive. You can hear it in my voice. That guy's got energy. And at my age, yes, energy. We're all getting older, but we want to perform at our best. I'm in a young man's game. There's nobody my age who does this. Everyday supplement for driven guys who refuse to let age beat them. M-Drive's clinically tested ingredients support healthy testosterone levels while helping maintain lean muscle and giving you that energy you need to fight back against aging every single day. Visit mdrivedan.com and try for yourself. This month only, take 20% off your first order. Make sure you use the promo code Dan. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, nothing to lose. Age is inevitable, but slowing down doesn't have to be. M-Drive helps you perform at your best with top level T support, and you can join my community, driven guys like me who aren't going to let age slow them down. MDriveDan.com. Take 20% off with the promo code Dan. Don't let age beat you. Visit MDriveDan.com.